This is Indie Book Publishing. Indie Book Publishing is a show about new books and the authors who wrote them. It's an opportunity for prospective readers to hear directly from the writers, to hear what inspired them to write and publish, and to hear all the inside details about their books. And now, Indie Book Publishing with your host, Steve Jorgensen.
The title of the book, Three Steps to Happy. Stop, Snap, and Smile. This great children's book written by Amelia DeRocher, and this interview on Indie Book Publishing brought to you by Balboa Press. Hello, Amelia.
Hi, how are you?
Good to have you with us, and your book is much more than a fun picture book, a fun little story. You're trying to teach children how to deal with their feelings. Let me read a couple things you have written. You say this book teaches children that they can choose how they want to feel. It also shows that making that change is as easy as changing what you think about and smiling. In adult language, if you want to change your state, just change your physiology and change your focus. In preschool language, stop. See, you're feeling bad? Snap. Decide you want to feel good, then smile. What a great message. How did you come up with this, Amelia?
I came up with this with a kind of a compilation between some things I've learned in Tony Robbins' environment, going to his conferences and events, and also reading books like Wayne Dyer. And Wayne Dyer talks a lot about choosing to feel good, that there's only basically two emotions. There's bad and there's good, and you can choose to feel good. And so I took Tony Robbins' triad. He says that if you can change your triad, you can change your state. And the triad is your focus, the language, the words that you're using to talk to yourself, and your physiology, so how you're standing, how you're moving. And so I kind of made that into terms for little kids and make it easy for them to understand that they can choose how they feel, that if they're feeling sad or angry, they can understand that they're feeling that way and they can make a choice whether or not they want to feel better. And then all they have to do is something as simple as smile to start working on that feel-good feeling.
So we have Mommy and Daddy, and then there's Aiden. How old is Aiden?
Aiden in this story is about 4 years old.
4 years old, and then there's his sister, Ella.
Mm-hmm.
And how old is she?
She is about two.
She's about two. Okay. And in this story, instead of having illustrations, you chose to have photographs. Who are the models? Are those your kids?
Those are actually, yes, they're my kids.
That's wonderful. Well, they did a great job. Aiden is a true actor.
He is.
He went from being angry and screaming to smiling.
Yes, and which some of those pictures was really me just following them around and them starting to throw a temper tantrum and me taking the opportunity, which was kind of odd being a mom and following your kid around and taking pictures when they're screaming, but it kind of worked.
Well, as you put it, there are feelings that feel good and feelings that feel bad. If you are feeling bad and don't like it, you can decide to feel good. Only you can decide. That's the whole theme in a nutshell, isn't it? Only you can decide.
That's right. Right. Other people can't make you feel something. Only you can do that. Yeah, I mean, even if somebody were trying to force you to feel any feeling, really, it's you who decides what you're thinking to yourself and what you're saying to yourself and the actions that your body is taking to feel those feelings. It's kind of more like we do emotions rather than feel emotions.
Do emotions.
Right, because when you're feeling depressed, think about how your body is sitting. You know, you're usually kind of slouched over. You're thinking thoughts in your head that cause you to feel depressed. You know, you're thinking, I'm lonely, or I'm this, or I'm that. And then your body is slouched over, and you're kind of heads down, and you're not breathing very well. And that's how you're depressed. But if you do happy, you sit up, and you're breathing more deeply, and your head is up, and you're thinking better thoughts like, this is a beautiful day, the sunshine is out, and it's going to be gorgeous. And then that's how you do happy.
So we have a couple of scenarios in the book. We start out with breakfast.
Right.
Aiden loves, what's his favorite?
Probably the French toast.
French toast and syrup, right? Because it's so sweet.
It's sweet.
Woo. But mom's making eggs, so boy, that'd make anybody, especially 4 years old, that'd make you mad.
That could make you mad.
But you have taught him, well, you're teaching him through this book, and then he gets it finally, doesn't he?
Right. He gets it, and he turns it around, and he teaches it. So I'm also hoping that that, in the story, will teach other children who read the book that they can spread the message to others. So he finally gets the idea, and he starts teaching his little sister.
And he throws a little fit, and the mom says, I know you are upset, and that's okay, acknowledging that it's okay to be upset. Okay, I guess, to be angry at times.
Right, because some things happen, and you feel a certain way, and you just have to, it's a matter of not getting stuck in a feeling, that you realize that you have a choice. You don't have to stay angry. You don't have to stay depressed. You can choose to do something else.
And then, of course, he wants to go to the playground. Dad, I guess, usually takes him, right?
Yes, this is an occasion where Dad was going to take him.
And he can't go, and, well, that'd make anybody mad.
Right. He was excited about it from the time that he woke up, and he was really looking forward to it, and then he realized it was snowing out, and they just weren't going to be able to go at that point in time.
And he kicked the chair. He was so mad.
Right. Kicked the chair and fell down and started pouting.
Threw another fit. But he's learning to do something, and you say, like in your title, stop and snap. What do you mean, snap?
Well, that's just the thing, that when you make the choice to feel better, to have a different emotion, you can make that choice in just the snap of a moment. I mean, that's how fast it is that you choose to feel something different. So you stop, you realize that you're not feeling so great, you snap, you decide to, you'd want to feel better, and then you smile.
So a snap of the
finger gets you feeling better.
So a snap of the fingers, you can change from feeling really bad to smiling and being happy.
That's right. And if you watch your kids, you can see them go from happy to upset in the snap of a moment, so teaching them to go from upset to happy in the snap of a moment is really useful for their entire lives.
Well, that is. That's right. It's real easy to go from happy to sad.
Right.
Just follow the natural road, right? Just follow the easy path.
Right.
The path of least resistance, as they say. I think adults could learn something about that too, couldn't we?
I think so. I'm hoping that parents will learn something while they're reading it to their children.
And then, of course, he teaches little Ella, because she's having a problem. What's her problem?
Right. Well, she starts getting frustrated because a puzzle is not going her way. And so he tries to help her, but she just gets more and more frustrated and falls down screaming. And so he starts trying to snap his fingers, trying to teach her that she can stop, snap, and smile. And just the action of him trying to snap his fingers is really what 4-year-old can snap their fingers yet. So it's really quite funny. And she starts laughing. And then she feels better.
So all we need to do is stop thinking about what has us feeling bad and start to think about something happy instead.
Exactly. It's that simple.
And in the time it takes to snap your fingers, you can decide to feel good.
Right.
Well, that's a great message. Great message, as you say, for adults, for children, and your whole goal is to teach this to kids when they're young, so maybe when they're adults, they can overcome being upset and mad and angry and all the above emotions that adults go through.
Right. I mean, we all go through those emotions, and it's just a matter of, again, whether or not we want to be stuck in there. You know, you see people who are stuck in depression. It's somehow serving them to be depressed. Otherwise, why would you do it? So it's just a matter of realizing that you can choose. If you want to be happy, you can choose to be happy. So it's really empowering the children for, as they grow up, to to be more capable in society and capable of choosing their feelings and handling things in a more positive way.
Teaching kids responsibility for themselves. Just taking responsibility for themselves. Well, what a great message. What a great theme. Anything else you'd like to share with us, Amelia?
Pretty much just that this is the first book in a series. The second book is actually out, too, and it does actually share that message exactly, is participate in your own responsibility. Participate in your rescue. So if you get stuck in something, it's part of your responsibility to help yourself get out. You can't just depend on everybody else to fix it for you.
Me to the Rescue is the title.
Yes, it is.
Well, tell us how to get 3 steps to happy, stop, snap, and smile. Amelia DeRocher, tell us how to get your book.
Well, there's lots of ways you can go get it. It's online. You can go to my website. My website is stormandrock.com. And you can also, it's also available on barnesandnoble.com and amazon.com, or you can go directly through publisher, and the publisher is, again, Balboa Press.
Well, thanks for being on Indie Book Publishing, Amelia. This special interview brought to everyone by Balboa Press. Thanks a lot.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
You're listening to Indie Book Publishing. And we'll be right back after these messages. Get ready for the Not-So-Soccer Mom Tuesday afternoons at 1 Eastern, noon Central on TogiNet with Jill Hickey. You name it, from politics to pop culture to Jill's search for the perfect bronzer and chicken salad. The Not-So-Soccer Mom will weigh in on it all. The sentence, "I have no opinion about that," is one that Jill has never uttered. In the early 90s, Jill finally decided to put her thoughts, opinions, mom advice, love of pop culture, hummus, and Starbucks, working out, cosmetic shopping, and politics into an actual website, and thus NotSoSoccerMom.com was born. Shortly after her fourth child, a boy, Jerome, now she's really got tons of topics to share with you. This is Laugh Out Loud Funny, and we're not kidding. What's a loud Nebraska girl who lived in Little Rock for many years and now is up in the Northeast doing? Chronicling her opinions on everything. The wheels aren't off yet, but it's close. It's the Not-So-Soccer Mom with Jill Hickey, Tuesday afternoons at 1 Eastern, noon Central on TogiNet.com.
Holidays and celebrations get you down and leave you feeling frazzled? Then join Sandy Fowler and her guests on Heartfilled Holidays every Monday at noon, 11 a.m. Central on TogiNet.com. Sandy will help you discover the secrets to having the celebrations you've always dreamed of while adding fun and meaning to your life. From Valentine's Day to Christmas to special family events, Sandy Fowler will show you how to put the fun and meaning back into those special days by taking a look at what we can do to turn the upcoming holidays into cherished memories and show us how to allow it to intertwine with everyday life. For more on the show, Sandy, and to receive Sandy's Holiday Happiness Booklet, go to HeartFilledHolidays.com. Then get set to discover the secrets to creating happy holidays and happy everydays by joining Sandy Fowler and her guests on Heartfilled Holidays every Monday at noon Eastern Standard Time on TogiNet.com.
Welcome back to Indie Book Publishing, helping authors publish, promote, and sell their books around the world. Now, back to your host, Steve Jorgensen.
The title of the book, Musings, Verses Across the Year 2008. And the author and poet is Elizabeth Clayton. And Elizabeth joins us now on Indie Book Publishing, this special interview brought to you by Trafford Publishing. Hello, Elizabeth.
Hello.
Good to have you with us. Now, I'm going to read a few things you've written about your book, Musings. You say, "It is a wellspring of moving sentiment, recorded as it was experienced." And you also added notes. We're going to talk about those. You added notes to help balance the sentiment so that reviewing these pieces will not leave the reader fatigued or press him into a complexion that would be an unsatisfied one. You also say, "Her free verse form allows the ideas and images to work together to make shape. Her poems have an internal rhythm and structure which often complements the thought thoroughly. The words take shape, and the shape enhances the words. At times playful, at times prayerful, at times reflective, and at times reactive." Well, you are a thinker and have a desire to share what is happening in your life, what you see, what you feel. How did this all start, Elizabeth? Why do you write this way? What's going on in your mind to produce such philosophical thinking?
I think that I would take the easy way out and say I really don't know. But I've written all of my life, and I write most as a cathartic measure. I write to express what I can't say to others. I feel very alone and alienated from other people because, frankly, other women my age have families and grandchildren and did not pursue education as far as I did. And we have very little to talk about, although I have a great many female friends. But men and I get along better as far as conversation. And so I write when an image, some people around here use the term bothers me, when an image comes to me again and again. And because of my bipolar intensity and because of my sensibilities, images are very clear to me. And so in order to not forget them, I record them immediately. That's what I mean. I record them as I experience them.
And you're a retired college professor.
That's correct.
And you...
I'm also serving as an adjunct at a university close by here.
And you have focused on English and psychology throughout your life?
That's correct. Yes.
Okay. Well, you talk about routine events and thoughts that occur within their seasons. Now, your book is broken up into seasons.
Yes. I spent the first 10 years of my life on a farm, and we were very poor and had very little beauty except natural beauty, like fruits and flowers and the weather and the seasons. And my father and mother instructed me well in these wonderful constructs. And so I see life as a journey, and I teach my students in the pieces of literature that I instruct to see these pieces as a journey, that life is a journey. It has a beginning, it has the steps in between, and it has a conclusion. And we all hope for a good death.
Now, what season do you start with?
I start with winter.
Why is that?
I start in January.
Because it's January. All right.
That's right. And proceed through spring and the summer and the fall and go until the end of the year, which is winter again.
Now
this is shown by the cover of the book, which I did illustrate. There is a bridge, and there are daffodils on the left, and there is holly on the right.
Now, when I first introduced your book, I read about you adding notes. Now, you say when appropriate. Now, why do you add notes? And what are the notes to help balance the sentiment? What does that mean?
Because I so often am flighty in my ideas, and I've had some friends to tell me that I'm just plain autistic, that I think everybody thinks just like I do, and they don't, and they can't follow me. And so the image, the beauty of the image is lost if it cannot mean anything to the person who reads it. And so if he can't anchor it to something that's familiar to him, which is what I put in the notes, then it can't mean as much to him. And so I do that partially as a recording for myself, but also for the reader to know the full meaning of the poem.
Why did you decide free verse in your writings?
Because I just don't like the constrictions of rhyme and rhythm. I don't mind rhythm so much. I think my poetry does have a rhythm of its own, and I think that's something that comes with the package. I don't think it's almost like trying to teach someone who has no ear for music to play the piano. He can play the piano, but it does not sound like a master. And I think that's true with writing. We can teach young people. I try all the time to teach young people to write. But if they don't have sentence sense, they cannot write. And so the rhythm that I have in my poetry is something that comes with my person, with myself, with my inside self.
Well, let's hear some of your writings, this free verse, and we'll start with winter, and we'll get an example from each of the different seasons as we proceed. So give us something from your winter writings.
I have a small poem here that shows the cruelty of the winters when I lived on the farm before my father went back to school when we were so poor. Wood fire and smoke, berries smiling brightly through rain of constant falling, cold and cold, continuous reaching down, our southern face ruddy and green, beyond sunlight's cheer, with smallest comforts, greatest joy pours out from chilled crocks of fabled summer.
Your writings have kind of a dark edge to them, don't they?
They always do. Yes, they do. But I do conclude triumphantly.
So there is triumph.
I do.
And at the end of your book, there's triumph?
Yes, yes. And there is always some revenge. In triumph, there is some revenge, I think. I have always been unhappy that I have had the sack of stones that I have in my illness and the sensibilities that I have had I not even had the bad chemistry. But I think that I beat the bipolar illness. I think I did. I have done things that no other bipolars can do.
Well, because you swing from the lowest of lows to the highest of highs, at least that's the bipolar part of your
exactly.
thinking
yes.
or your behavior?
Yes. And I have often, in different periods in my life, I've had a secret life where I have had a dark side, where I've been very promiscuous and very much a risk taker, all kinds of things that I won't go into. But my autobiography does hint at those things.
But you describe manic outbursts because of your absolute joy in the feast of life, as you put it.
Yes, I think that life is altogether, life is a feast at whose table we may all sit. Not that we all do, but we may sit there at times, we may sit there often, but life is a feast. Even with the darkest despair, I have never given up, never.
Well, take us to spring.
I would like to read a portion of a verse that has to do with love because spring so evokes that sentiment from me. After all of the years, the words, the touches, love is like a grand parfum, intensely light and fresh, sweet as crushed petals, its strength as warm musk, and in it our senses marry, and we have a response, an experience. And it is this contained all that we remember when it passes, lifting as angel's presence, the sweet moving away of a Chopin nocturne. Sweetness and hurting clasp each other, and we feel spirit-filled, royal that such has, in some part, been our fare. Love is stronger than its description can tempt, and in its heaviness it is good that it farewells. For memory is comfortable, purer, safer, the baton to pass again into more riches.
Much different from the winter selection.
Yes.
Yes. In fact, here's something that you have written. These are musings, as the title suggests, thoughts. But the word also echoes the deeper image of the muses, those mythological women of inspiration who implanted thoughts in human minds and gave rise to the creative arts. I love the way you wrote that.
That actually is not my writing. That is my professor who wrote
okay.
the foreword.
Oh yes, well that was very well said.
He says it very. He went very methodically through every verse, and he is the one who hired me into the department where I teach now.
Well, let's step into summer.
Summer, all right. And that won't be hard. Summer's always a long, pretty time that doesn't have an end, we think. I would like to read a very small poem about summer. The sun was ever present, so bright today, yet in my rooms, in my most inner chambers, very constant like September long ago, and all the summers that passed before, thoughts are cruel, for they do not die, but in the face of past circumstance, flourish and wound and make to fall away. And the note, coming alone the deepest night, when heart needs thought, and they cannot reconcile but thrash about together and the skirmishes akin to the hell of war.
Well, you remind us that we are living symbols. What do you mean by that?
I think I meant by that there are several dimensions to the person, and we live a certain character, but we do things and say things and feel that are really symbolic of the spiritual side that is the most important side. The symbol that I'm speaking of is the spiritual symbol.
Take us into fall, please.
This poem is a verse about a relationship that I had not more than a year or so ago, but it concluded in the fall, and so I wrote it in this fashion. And even still your absence, your silence, I come to know you more, the man that I thought to know. For in your words, your shyful glance and smiles, blooms more the sleeping baby in innocence's arms. And what you leave in fair decorum is more resplendent abundance over the flame of passion's fire, burning out in the pain of sensual sweetness. To receive and comfort me and touch my soul with bits of memory threads, yet to look toward to the complete of ivory sentiment, which can pour out as oil and meal. I weep as for a dream that I held your touch for a season, to thoughts of more to be, to lose to more. Now, the noblesse of honor and patience worth. My hand catches my throat, my breath captured by the salt. My words faltering in the description save the bleeding of my pants. There is no love more past this love of giving kept.
Well, you write about being, living, dying. Of course, all three states are present throughout the year's meditations, but you also talk about what you call the little death sleep and how precious that is.
Yes, I have not slept since I had the, quote, breakdown when I was 24. I have not slept without medication. And when I take medication, I often go into altered state of consciousness where I struggle with sleep, but I have images that I can have at no other time, and I want to record them. And when I awaken in the morning, I cannot always know what I meant by what I said. And so I perceive it as going into the dark world.
Elizabeth, we appreciate you being with us on Indie Book Publishing. This special interview brought to everyone by Trafford Publishing. Elizabeth, tell us how to get your book.
Well, you can order it from Amazon, from Trafford and Barnes and Noble. I know those. Three sources, we'll order them for anyone who chooses to purchase them.
Her book's title, Musings, Verses Across the Year 2008, Elizabeth Clayton. Thanks so much for being with us on Indie Book Publishing.
Thank you, sir.
You're listening to Indie Book Publishing, and we'll be right back after these messages. Mark Lipinski is coming to TogiNet. It's Creative Mojo with Mark Lipinski, a live two-hour show Wednesday afternoon starting at 3, 2 Central on TogiNet.com. Creative Mojo. It's fun, entertaining, informative, inspirational, and illuminating. Lipinski has worked on such shows as Oprah, The View, The Joan Rivers Show, and Ricky Lake. He's busy, but he's got the drive to share with Creative Mojo, dedicated to the modern crafter and crafting lifestyle. Dive into the info and enjoy everything from celebs to entertainment news to recipes, quilting and needlework, knitting, painting, woodworking, Christmas crafts, and so much more. This show boldly encourages you to discover and harness your own creative spirit by living creatively every day. For more on Mark and the show, check out marklipinski.com. Don't miss the fun. It's Creative Mojo with Mark Lipinski, Wednesday afternoon starting at 3, 2 Central on toginet.com.
Was sad, right? Cause he had a death, dear mommy and dad, right? But that ain't the case, nope. It wasn't his fate, no, nope. The ones never struggled to communicate, ha. Y'all wave your hands, look who's on, yeah. It's Dakota McKeith and he's number one. Woo!
It's That Keith Wan Show on TogiNet.com, Wednesday nights at 8, 7 Central. Every week, That Keith Wan Show will have guests that share their experiences, expertise, opinions, and personal lives with us to hopefully help us better understand others. The topics and guests will come from the American Sign Language community. For more on Keith Wan and the show, go to his website, KeithWan.com. Listen with an open mind and willingness to learn and help with the cultural bridge.
Number one, Keith's number one. Everybody clap, cause the Coda Man's on. Number one, Keith's number one. Everybody clap, cause the Coda Man's on.
Don't miss That Keith Wan Show. Wednesday nights at 8, 7 Central on TogiNet.com.
Welcome back to Indie Book Publishing, helping authors publish, promote, and sell their books around the world. Now, back to your host, Steve Jorgensen.
The title of the book, Freedom Within, and the author is Teresa Alexander. And Teresa joins us now on Indie Book Publishing, this special interview brought to you by Balboa Press. Hello, Teresa.
Good morning, Steve. Lovely to share with you and your listeners.
Well, great to have you with us all the way from Australia, Newcastle, Australia. It's just like you're in the studio with us.
I feel like I'm in the studio with you, and I have been to America, so I'm picturing myself there right there with the people.
Well, I'm going to read what you've written about your book, Freedom from Within. You say this: Freedom from Within guides readers through 26 chapters that have them reflecting on numerous questions posed for which they must find positive answers, such as, why the journey? Why life? Through these answers, they discover their own true selves. Each chapter takes them to a new level of self-awareness and offers them opportunity to rid themselves from the load of hurts and pain they carry and endure. Well, we're going to have you read some of your writings, your prose, and some of your poetry a little later. But first of all, tell us the experience that you had, this near-death experience that you had that motivated you to write the what you have done, Freedom from Within.
I was in hospital, Steve. I was not under the anesthetic. It was 3 days after my operation. They attempted something in the hospital that terrified me, and I decided to depart. And I knew that when my soul was out of my body, that what I thought was immediate. If I thought of a place, I was there. I could feel, I could touch. I couldn't touch. I had no physical form, but I could hear. And my mother and my grandmother had already passed, and I sent out the thought form. It's all by thought form. I'm not going to go back. And they said, you've got to go back. And I said, no, I'm not going back. And one of them sent the thought form, well, if you don't want your body, one of us will have it. Well, they called my bluff, and there was a jolt in my body immediately, and I was back in my body. So I knew from that time, Steve, that death is not the end. We pass off to a new dimension.
Well, some may find your story a bit controversial or even unbelievable, but it's your story, and it had a profound effect on you.
It had a big effect on me, and it's the reason that I wrote my book. I looked and I thought, okay, what's life about? It's not death, it's passing. It's not the end. There's a purpose for life, and freedom from within is the result of looking and writing.
You say when we are born, we are free. Somewhere, however, the joy is lost. Somewhere along the way, we allow our souls to slip into bondage. Now, how does that happen?
If we look at it this way, Steve, if we're going to climb a great big hill, we'd prefer not to carry a pack. But when we carry a pack of doubt, no self-worth, no self-esteem, and those other things, the pack gets heavier and heavier. And when we're born, we don't carry those things. And Freedom from Within will take the people through the 26 chapters to observe, and if they choose to, change and let go of the pain, and the weight will go so they can walk up the hill with no heavy pack and feel love around them and freedom.
Well, you want to help us discover and open our hearts to the divine presence within ourselves.
most people, Steve, don't use the other 9/10 of the brain, and that is recognised by the scientists. And freedom from within is used from my 9/10 of the brain, and it is the gift of the divine. And once we use our 9/10 of our brain, we never feel alone again.
Well, share with us one of your writings, and you can make a comment after you read it.
Right, this is a short poem. It's called Open Pathways. Life has many chapters, from the first one to the end, the different ones who share them every now and then. The road is ours to travel, to live and understand, that each day is the only day we hold within our hand. With freedom for today, the world is at our feet. Pathways are open, exciting as a treat. Take this moment to fulfill the experience of the heart. Know that deep within, you have lived your fullest part.
Very, very well said, right to the point. I love poetry because it creates so much emotion and pictures. You can see things.
The main thing I think about Freedom from Within is it's two books in one, and the second book follows The Gift of Love, which is meditation poems like this one that give people a chance to do true meditation. And true meditation means order of the mind, positive, loving energy, empowerment.
You want to help us escape from the bonds of the ego.
You know, I'm a professional counsellor, Steve, and people come to me and say, should I marry this person? What do you think? And it always amazes me and makes me feel a little bit sad for them, because the heart path is what they need to open up. And when they're following the heart path, the job of the ego, which is actually at the stomach center, if you've ever felt a hard little nip coming in there, it's because you're feeling fear. And the job of the ego is to support the heart center to make it happen, not make the decision. The heart makes the decision. The ego supports it to bring it through.
Why don't you share another of your writings?
Oh, I like this one, Steve. Faith in your growth to beauty. Under the ground and the fertile earth are the bulbs awaiting their full creation. Maybe forgotten, maybe you know, they wait for suitable conditions. Nature lifts the temperature as they quietly begin to grow. In the dark unseen, you may not even know. Then the green shoots appear as they grow from the earth, with the promise of springtime to fulfill their true worth. The buds that form promise beauty to see, a scent so soft to please us now free. For the flowers now open in colour and form remind us our journey can suddenly transform. So if you appear blocked and you're not sure of the way, be still, count your blessings, your strength for today. Tomorrow will be brighter, your heart with a song, for faith in its beauty will carry you along. Your thoughts are your journey that you create while here. So be positive and think to sow goodwill and good cheer.
You've written so much, and what motivates or what creates the genesis of your writing? Is it some experience that happens, or just a thought, or a view of something? What creates this new idea that turns into a writing?
I've always had the ability to look at a person and to observe what's happening inside, and I have the gift to look at them and take a poem from inside them, and very often that poem is one that can give them strength. And there was another thing you touched on, Steve, and that was the word thought, and that is when people are aware that what they think is what they create in their life, whether immediately or years down the track, freedom from within offers the opportunity through meditation to put their thoughts in order, order of love, so that they create love and not negative things.
So the purpose of meditation, give us some more on that.
Most people associate meditation with sitting quietly or having crystals or different things around them. Meditation's true form is when you observe that your mind is thinking all negative things, that you cannot do it, you will not do it, nobody loves me. Meditation is observing the thought, halting it, and changing it to an affirmation of, I am loved, I can do it, I want to do this, it's in my heart. That's what meditation is about, putting your own inner house in order.
And you write that God is thought.
This is interesting for people to look at, but at the end of the day, God is not in physical form, but it was written, in the beginning, let there be light, and there was light. It shows that the first thought, and we are made in God's image, what we think eventually comes into form. God is total love. Total thoughts of love create love. Love cannot be fragmented unless the individual changes their thought, which would come from the ego.
And as you put it, our thoughts create our experiences.
Exactly, Steve. I think we're both working on the same page here.
Well, share with us another of your writings.
Can I read one for the American people, please, Steve?
Please, please.
I've been to America 3 times, and this is my perception. America, think big. It's on page 294. America, think big. From the prairies to the Grand Canyon size and beauty, the mighty sequoia, the biggest tree in the world, Yellowstone National Park with the tallest active geyser, the battle steamer on the mighty Mississippi River, Walt Disney's gift to the world for children, family, all, with the largest theme park that the world can play and laugh. My visits to America have been filled with joy and caring. The people reached out with interest, with genuine rich sharing. My taxi driver said, here in America, we can achieve anything we want. It isn't where you come from, but where you want to go. The thrill of seeing my first tumbleweed as it was blowing across the desert, seeing the beauty of the Bryce Canyon with its colors bright and true. In the autumn, the leaves change their shades of green to the brilliant shades of orange, finally going red or gold from autumn through to winter. The Statue of Liberty representing the power of free choice, freedom for all without constraint or voice, a country offering service to take the world to a better place. May the people unite to serve for this powerful, loving race.
Very nice. Very nice. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that about America.
And thank you, Steve. God bless you all.
Now, you also say that freedom from within allows others to share this journey of the self, leading to true awareness of the inner self. And that takes work and self-reflection. How much self-reflection?
When we are born, Steve, if you've ever noticed a little child, they automatically have this awareness. It's only with the conditioning of putting in the other things of fear, away your empowerment, away your true self, that people lose the ability to connect with that 9/10 of the brain that's there to be used. And fortunately for me, mind has always been with me. And it's recognizing when your mind's going like a rocket and learning to be still, stand barefoot in the ground, get grounded, or walk amongst the bush, the thought will come to you. And you'll learn to trust it, and you'll never be alone again.
Well, in closing, please sum up death, dying, or living.
Steve, when my soul left my body with a near-death experience, I was shown death is not the end. Freedom from within is the gift and the answer to the purpose of life. And I know that people are interested. It's the most feared thing in the world, talking about life with death. And freedom from within will indicate that death is not the end. It's really all about living.
Why don't you share in closing one more of your writings?
This one's called The Airport. I think I must be coming to... Oh, no, this is one for you, Steve, because you asked okay. about this. The secret of the poem. When pain is in the heart and the soul is very troubled, we need someone to talk to, our troubles to impart. If we feel alone, our pen we must employ to write down what is deep within and let the pages talk. If we read between the lines, the answers we will find, the problems we face up to have come from deep within our mind. But at our shoulder we have help to guide us day by day. If we deal with truth and love, we are guided on our way.
Well, thank you, Teresa. This is Teresa Alexander. She is author and poet, Freedom from Within, A Gift of Love. Tell us how to get your book.
My book is available through Amazon.com. It's also available through BalboaPress.com and BarnesandNoble.com. And you can buy it, I believe that a lot of you buy e-books. That's a new word for me. But that's where you buy it, isn't it, on the internet?
Right, right. And you can download it, right.
Go for it.
That's right, go for it. Well, thank you for being on Indie Book Publishing and this interview brought to everyone by Balboa Press. Thank you very much.
Steve, it's been my pleasure. Enjoy your day or everybody as well. Thank you very much and God bless.
You've been listening to Indie Book Publishing with your host, Steve Jorgensen. Join us again next week at noon Eastern as Steve interviews another great author.